From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Amen. Good morning, good people of grace, and blessed Advent to you. Blessed Advent to all of us. If you knew that Jesus was coming to be your house guest in a week, what about your life would have to change? Like, if you knew that Jesus was coming to stay in your house, if you knew that he was going to say, use your bathroom and maybe cook in your kitchen, and that maybe he was one of those house guests that would look through your bathroom cabinets and rummage through your junk drawer, if you knew that Jesus was coming to be your house guest in a week, what about your life would have to change? At Bible study on Monday, our friend Joyce Noble said that when she was a teenager at youth group, the pastor of the church was talking to the youth, and the pastor asked this question: if Jesus was going to be your house guest in a week, what about your life would have to change? The pastor asked them to consider it and then write their answer on a piece of paper, and he gave them time to really deeply consider this question. Now, Joyce said when she heard the question, she froze. She wasn't at all sure how to answer such a big question. But luckily for her, she happened to be sitting right next to, well, the pastor's teenage daughter. Joyce noticed that the pastor's daughter began writing immediately. What confidence she must have to move to writing her answer down for all to see and hear so quickly. So Joyce said, of course. She leaned over to see what the pastor's teenage daughter had written with such confidence. And this is what Joyce told us she saw on the pastor's daughter's piece of paper. The pastor's daughter had written, "Nothing. If I knew Jesus was coming to my home in a week, I would have to change nothing. Nothing. I would have to change nothing." As I sat with the pastor's daughter's words, I came up with three reasons that she might have written such an assured answer. Now, she is the pastor's daughter and she is a teen, so maybe her answer would read out loud something like this: "Nothing. I would change nothing." Maybe she meant it in that rebellious spirit that only a child of a pastor can muster up, fighting any notion of or tendency toward purity or perfection. Perhaps she is exclaiming that she refuses to be changed, refuses to acknowledge any hint of sin, because, well, her father is the pastor and she is a teen. Or maybe she meant it like this: "Nothing. I would change nothing." Maybe she, being a teen and the pastor's daughter, has an elevated sense of her own piety. Maybe she is under so much pressure as the child of a pastor that she has grown to present herself as highly defined and above others because that has become expected. Maybe she is afraid that to admit anything else would mean utter rejection by her father and the church community that she is in, and maybe even Jesus. So her answer becomes a further performance meant to generate a standing ovation. "Nothing. I would change nothing." Or maybe she meant it like this: "Nothing. I would have to change nothing. Maybe as a child of God, this young woman is saying, nothing. I would have to change nothing. Maybe she knew that when she met Jesus, she would want him to know her exactly as she was. Because when Jesus comes into her home, she wants him to experience her home like family, like someone who lives there all the time. And well, she doesn't clean up for family who lives in her home all the time. So why would she clean up for Jesus? And it is Jesus anyway. Jesus knows what's in the junk drawer before he looks. I mean, he is God. But maybe this child of God, this young woman, knew the story of Mary. Maybe she knew her Bible so well that she really understood how God had chosen a poor, brown-skinned young woman to bear the Son of God, to give life to Jesus. And so maybe knowing this story so well, she figured she would be good enough to invite Jesus into her home, messy or clean, cluttered or orderly, big or little. Maybe she just knew. However Jesus found her, when he finally arrived, no matter the state of her home, he would love her exactly as she was. Mary Oliver, in her famous poem, Preparing the House for the Lord, says this: Dear Lord, I have swept and I have washed, but still nothing is as shining as it should be for you. Under the sink, for example, is an uproar of mice. It is the season of their many children. What shall I do? And under the eaves and through the walls, the squirrels have gnawed their ragged entrances. But it is the season when they need shelter. So what shall I do? And the raccoon limps into the kitchen and opens the cupboard while the dog snores. The cat hugs the pillow. What shall I do? Beautiful is the new snow falling in the yard, and the fox who is staring boldly up the path to the door. And still, I believe you will come. Lord, you will. When I speak to the fox, the sparrow, the lost dog, the shivering sea goose, know that really I am speaking to you. Whenever I say, as I do all morning and afternoon, come in, come in. Dear Lord, nothing is as shining as it should be for you. What shall I do? Nothing. I would have to change nothing. Now, who knows from which place that young woman, teen daughter of a pastor and child of God, was coming from? None of us could possibly know. But what I do know is this: I want to live my life like that. Like I would have to change nothing. Not because I want nothing to change, not because I am rebelling from authority or because I think I'm already that good, not for any of those reasons. I want to live as if I have to change nothing in order to be ready to meet Jesus, because I want to be that sure, that confident, that I am simply that loved exactly as I am. Advent is our season in the church to prepare to meet Jesus incarnate in this world. We are preparing to celebrate Jesus as a human person with us on the journey. In Mary Oliver's poem, she's imagining getting the house ready for the Lord, but there are all these things that just keep happening. Mice make homes under the sink. A fox stalks her door. A raccoon comes in and goes through the cupboard and makes a huge mess. What shall she do? This is just the season when those things happen. This is just life. where messes happen and imperfection is the norm, and here we are in it as imperfect people, what shall we do? Nothing. Nothing except say to Jesus all morning and all afternoon, come in, come in. Advent is the season for us as Christians not to make ourselves ready to present ourselves to Jesus, but to say to Jesus, as Mary Oliver does in her poem, come in, come in. This is our time to prepare ourselves to invite Jesus in, into our homes, into our living, into our hearts. Advent is a time to prepare, not for the final judgment. That will come later. That's called Lent. But that's not what we celebrate at Christmas. And Advent is our season to prepare for Christmas, which is the coming of Jesus, the birth of our teacher and our Savior. During this season, our work is to be prepared to see Jesus in this world and invite him in. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Jesus is saying in our gospel, look around. Keep awake to the world around us here on earth. When we see the signs, our gospel says, we know he is near. When we practice keeping awake, we learn to see. We learn to see the season we are in and that the branch has put forth its leaves. We begin to see the opportunities before us, as our baptismal covenant says, to seek and serve Christ in all persons. What would you have to change if you knew you were going to meet Jesus in a week? If Jesus were going to be your house guest? Nothing, except your ability to keep awake. Because friends, if we are not awake, then how would we even know that he is near? If we are asleep to the world around us, how would we even know that Jesus is here and asking to be let in? So what would you have to change? Nothing. You would have to change nothing. You would only need to know he is near. And as Mary Oliver writes, say all morning and afternoon, come in, come in. We need only keep awake to how Jesus is all around us now. Through the mouse and the fox and the squirrel, through the newborn baby, the elder alone, the neighbor in need. And then we only need to ready ourselves to invite them in. And to do that, we need to change nothing. We need only open our doors and our lives and our hearts to receive them with love. To invite Jesus in, what shall we do? We shall open our doors. But here's the thing. Once we do, once we open our doors and let him in, once we see him everywhere and in all things and in all people, including ourselves, when we accept we are loved exactly as we are, and we prepare ourselves to receive Jesus into our homes, into our hearts, into our living, when we seek and serve Christ in all persons, well, then we don't have to change a thing. Because when we let him in, and when we follow the way of love, then you know what changes? Everything. Then everything changes. Amen.